you about having joy unspeakable. And sometimes, if truth be told, it's pretty hard to keep that smile on your face, isn't it? The Lord tells us that we should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And yet, there's circumstances in our life that just sometimes put that frown on our face. That circumstance goes in front of what we're trying to accomplish. And sometimes we end up getting discouraged. But I want to tell you something this morning. It is possible to have joy unspeakable and live it every day of your life. Now, does that mean that you have the fuzzies and run around like a crazy person, always laughing where people look at you like, what's wrong with this person? No. But it does mean that you understand that God is bigger than your circumstance. God is bigger than what you're facing. And you're going to determine in your heart that you're going to live for Christ. Last week we looked at beginning the Fruit of the Spirit series, and we began with patience. The reason I started with patience is because you guys love patience so much. It's because you have so much patience. It's because you never have to second guess yourself, that you're just willing to wait on the Lord. Well, that's why I started with that, and I kind of take these out of order as the Lord leads me. And this week I'm looking at joy. Because I see some lives that are turned around. I see some lives that are going through all kinds of circumstances, either with family members in the hospital, personal issues within yourself, maybe kids that need to come back to the Lord. All kinds of things that just draw us. And if you look in Galatians 5, and that's going to be our text for the next several weeks, and then kind of work off of that, is in chapter 5, Paul is telling us that if you continue to live a sinful life, if you continue to abandon the Spirit of God, that one day you're going to stand before God and have to give an account. There's going to be a day of judgment for us. And if you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, we'll take a look at this text this morning. Working my way over there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each one. Father, as we take a moment to look at your word this morning, that's where the hard part comes in. Lord God, that we would have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, allowing us to have all of these characteristics that you desire in our lives to make us Christ-like. This morning, as we look at joy, I pray that you would just speak through me the things that you've laid on my heart, Lord God, that they would apply them to their lives. And Lord God, that they would see that there is a joy that only comes from you, and that joy can be in the midst of any turmoil, any circumstance, and that you can get honor and glory through that. May your name be exalted in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, Galatians 5:22 is kind of the springboard, because God desires in each one of us to allow us to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit active in our lives. And in so doing that, that's when we're going to bear fruit. Today I ask you this question. And I've been lately just asking all kinds of questions of you guys. Do you have joy in your life? And you would stop and you think this morning, well, that's a silly question to ask somebody. But really, when you stop and you look at some of the people's lives that are walking around professing to be Christians, it's not unusual to ask the question, do you have joy in your life? Do you have the love of the Lord in your life? Do you look past circumstances, and do you see that God is still doing amazing things, even though some of you are going through a lot of different trials and different circumstances in your life? A lot of Christians have a reputation. Now get this. A lot of Christians that profess the name of Jesus Christ have a reputation of being grumps, of complainers, thinkers, of gripers, and they're narrow-minded, and they're negative about everything that's going on in their life. And I'm asking you this morning, do you have joy in your life? Are you not one of those that are narrow-minded and negative? Are you one of those that can see on the positive side of things? Are you one that's just saying to yourself this morning, I'm determined, no matter what I'm going through, I'm not going to be a grump. I'm not going to be a complainer. I'm not going to slander the name of Christ because I'm thankful for what God is doing in my life. Now, I know that's not any of you. I realize that because we're putting this out on the internet, now that's for everybody else and not any of you that are here this morning. I do know that. That's not any of you. And you know that some Christians are even accused of being boring. Yeah, I know. It's not any of you guys. But to actually be bored, and I wanna just say, living for Christ should not be boring. Talking to somebody that has Jesus in their life should not be boring. You should be able to keep a positive attitude because of what Christ is doing and what you want to see happen in your life. Now, I'll give you an example. Let me set this up. There he stood in the midst of a restaurant with Thousand Island dressing dripping from his hair, over his glasses, down on his face, over his jacket, all over his pants and shoes. There he sits. And what happened is the waitress began to bring this 2-gallon container of Thousand Island dressing to the salad bar. And she paused at the swinging doors just long enough that the door helped her the rest of the way. And out she comes and spills this Thousand Island dressing all over this man. Let me tell you, he went ballistic. He was upset. He started shouting. He started cursing her. He started saying, "You're stupid. What in the world were you thinking of? How could you do such a thing?" And his wife chimes in, "Yes, and it's a $300 suit." And he just... first time he got to wear it, and he said, "Yeah, that's right. This is a $300 suit, and I want to see the manager." And he begins, the gal, she's dumbfounded. She has no idea what to do except to go get the manager. And here comes the manager. Now picture this. Here's a guy standing with Thousand Island dressing dripping from his head, not anything short of being angry. And the manager comes up and says, "Is there a problem?" He says, "What? Is there a problem?" "Yes. This gal ruined my $300 suit. And I want it replaced." And he says, "Sir, I'll be glad to have your suit cleaned. Because accidents do happen." And he threw such a fit. He's demanding. He said, "You go in the office and I want a check written for the cost of my suit. I don't want my suit cleaned. I want a new suit." And made such a fuss that this manager goes in and makes out a check for $300. Now here's the scenario that we didn't see. This happened about 12:15 on a Sunday morning. What does that tell you? Who would be wearing a suit at 12:15 on a Sunday morning? You get the idea, don't you? We're supposed to be godly. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. We're supposed to be able to get past some of the circumstances that send somebody else into these rages of fits. Do you just suppose that maybe this guy just came from church? Do you suppose maybe this guy just probably walked out of a message that said, "Love your neighbor"? "Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you"? Do you think maybe just because he had a bad day that he just polluted every single person around him? Do you think that anybody that knew this person, that knew he just came from church, looked at him and said, "Well, that's why I don't want to go there. That's why I don't want to be a part of them"? See, a while back I read of this little girl that went up to her mother. Now this would be, like I said, out of the mouths of babes, and we heard one this morning go, "Yay, awesome." Could have been better timing. But this little girl walks up to her mother and says, "If God is bigger than us, and he lives in us, shouldn't he be showing through us? I think that's a pretty good illustration, isn't it? If we're claiming that God is bigger than us, and we profess that God is living within us, well then God should be showing through on us. God should be doing some mighty things. Now, when we call ourselves Christians, God ought to be working through us. The Bible tells us to be Christ-like. And I have an idea that, you know, I'm not perfect, but I think that that example in the restaurant would not be a perfect idea of somebody being Christ-like. Unless this morning that you're picturing God as a sourpuss, and picturing him ready to hit you over the head at any time that you make a mistake, well then I would have to say that that's not being Christ-like. I said a while ago that in a message that, you know, God is the potter and we're the clay. We did that backwards. Sometimes we want to mold God to the way we think he should be, but God's saying, I'm the potter, you're the clay, I'm going to make these changes in this. God shapes us and molds us and allows us to be what he wants us to be. And I want you to realize something, and maybe the first thing that you want to just write down on your sermon notes or on a spot here this morning, somewhere on your bulletin is that there's a difference between joy and happiness. There's a big difference between that. The Bible mentions joy over 330 times, but only happiness 26 times. See, happiness depends on what's going on in your life. See, that you know, if all the circumstances are right, and all of your situations are in the perfect order, well, then you're going to be happy. But the joy that God's talking about in the Bible comes from inside. See, and it's joy that you can possess even when you're going through a hard time. See, the world doesn't understand that. That's why we've got to be such good witnesses and be able to understand what's going on in our lives. Because inside of us is joy. And it comes from the Lord working in our lives. Joy is this spiritual practice that goes out of our faith, is shown through our grace, is exemplified in our gratitude and our hope and our love for others. You know, you invite, now get this, you invite joy into your life when Jesus Christ came into your life. That's the ultimate joy. That's the ultimate part of understanding that even though I'm going through some tough times, joy is ahead. Eternity will be joyful because we'll be spending it with Christ. It's not only about emotion. See, that's the whole thing. In counseling with people for marriage and all kinds of other things, you got to just be honest with them. Look, the fuzzies won't last every day. It's a determination because you invite Jesus into your heart. You want the joy that's working in your lives. You may not always feel happy, but you can still have joy in your heart because Jesus still dwells within you. Now, after I say that this morning, I give you two options that you can take this morning. There's really two options that you can take. You can maintain the joy that you have that's from the Lord, or today you can receive the joy of the Lord and you can work on that and have that in your life, or you cannot maintain it, or not receive it this morning, and you can let a joy sucker come and take it away from you. And I say that, I don't know if that's good English or not, but it definitely fits. A joy sucker is exactly what they are. That takes away what God wants to do. You know, you have that choice this morning. The Chief Justice, Oliver Wendell Holmes, says this: I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers. You get that? So yes, even clergy can cause people to stumble with their joy. Even others that you come in contact can steal your joy. Even ministers can give the appearance, I got the joy down in my heart. joy suckers, taking it away from you, acting like undertakers, and instead of living the way God wants us to live, and how God wants us to look at joy this morning. You know, kind of like putting cement in your toothpaste. You know, you just can't handle it this morning, and understand what's going on. Joy sucker defined as anyone or anything that robs you of what God intended you to have. Can I repeat that again? Because some of you know some, don't you? Some of you probably got a picture of somebody in your mind. Wow. No wonder I can't stay with that person more than 5 minutes because I feel like they sucked the life right out of me. This morning, joy sucker, defined as anything or anyone that robs you of what God intended you to have. That joy that God wants you to have is that deep, abiding, inner peace and joy that Christ promises when we obey His commandments. And this joy does not depend on circumstances. This joy does not require all things in our life to be perfect. But we have that joy because Christ rests in our hearts. God's sovereignty controls our lives. And everybody should say amen. The illustration that I've shared before, you know, you all know my fear and my anxiety of roller coasters. I've shared that numerous times, how much I don't enjoy it. Let me tell you, roller coasters are not fun to me. I don't like them. And if I could stay off of them, I will. But here's one thing I want to tell you this morning. If it's a matter of me serving God or being on a roller coaster for a few minutes, I will pick God every single time. Did you get that? We all have our moments. We all have the things that we don't enjoy. And sometimes we have to go through them. But let me tell you, if it's between my relationship with God and a roller coaster, I'm going to take the roller coaster and run it like I like it because I know it's only going to be temporary. I know that on the other end of that roller coaster must be something that God wants for me. I may not be screaming hallelujah. I may not go in wee. I may not be like the young one this morning that said yay, but I'm going to get on the other side of it because I know that God has something that is worth my time on the other side. Now you guys know how much I love a good belly laugh too, and if this belly gets going, you know it's going to be a good time. But you understand that I love a good belly laugh, and I love to laugh. I believe it is good medicine that as God's people that God helps and ministers to us through a good laugh. But here's the other thing I understand too. Good belly laughs can't last forever or they hurt, don't they? Huh? Or they hurt. It goes from enjoyable to painful in a whole lot in a hurry. You can't live on a good belly laugh. You can't live in that realm of a belly laugh. So we've got to be careful in our lives that we don't let joy suckers steal from us. And we have to be careful in our minds to condition our minds that every day we can't be in this great belly laugh. That we can't just be in this perfect world. Because that's not good for us either. See, picture a ladder. And at the bottom would be miserable. And at the top would be joyous. And you're constantly going up and down that ladder, striving to be joyous and determined that you're going to stay on the ladder and not get to miserable. Because I've seen so many, they race up that ladder and they hit that joyous part and then sink back down to miserable and eventually they just stay miserable because they never want to come back up that ladder. So here we go. A couple things to think about and look at. Number one is this, if you're writing it down, you don't have to lose your joy because of trials in your life. Did you hear me? You don't have to lose your joy because of trials in your life. That is your choice, whether you're going to allow that to happen or not. That is your choice. You have no one to blame but yourself if you allow joy suckers or if you allow circumstances to steal that away because you do not have to. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that what? All things God works for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. God is, according to His Word, working things out for those that are called according to His purpose. Those that call upon the name of the Lord. People that are living obedient to the Lord have this promise that God is working things out. Now, does that mean perfect? Does that always mean that that's exactly the way we want it to be? No. He says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And He will work these things out after we are being obedient and we're striving to walk with God. You can't ask God to turn things around if we're not living for God. And you can't expect Him to go against His Word and do something for you that's contrary to the Word of God. But He promises us that according to that, He's working out these purposes. So that tells me this morning that you may have lost your job. You may be in a real tough relationship. You may have pressure going on at work. You may have missed a promotion. You may be short of money. Maybe you even had somebody at church here say something that you didn't like. But it's telling us that God works all of these things out for those that are called according to His purpose, those that love the Lord, and those that are determined that they're not going to let someone steal their joy. Isaiah 55:11 says this, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and mourning will flee away. Isn't that a good verse? That's the verse I hang on to when I have those moments. I laughed with Josh this morning. I said, I'm having a moment, you know, and it was all me. Devil tries to beat me up most every Sunday I come in here. And I was having my moment. But I'm determined that nobody's going to steal my joy. Nobody's going to stop me from accomplishing what God wants to accomplish. So this morning I grab onto that. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and mourning will flee away. Nehemiah tells us, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I love William Barkey says that a gloomy Christian is a contradiction of terms. I always like to say oxymoron. You can't put two things together that don't make sense. So put gloomy and Christian together. He calls that a contradiction in terms. Sometimes, I'll say this, sometimes the devil will steal your joy by unsatisfied expectations. So maybe this morning you're sitting here and you have some unsatisfied expectations. Maybe you're sitting here not content where the Lord has you right now at this moment. Paul says, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every circumstance and every situation. That tells me that he's been on both sides of the fence. He's understood both ways, when he was in need and when he was in plenty. I love this thought. It says, commitment doesn't come when we have everything we want. Did you get that? Contentment doesn't come when we have everything we want. It comes when we want something and we're willing to wait for God to do it. I heard a couple amens. Probably need a couple more to jump in there. And want you to know this, joy can be restored. Can you say that this morning? Joy can be restored. You can have joy in your life. David writes, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God, restore unto me. If I can't muster it up myself, God, would you restore it? Would you help me? Would you intervene? Would you do this for me? God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Remember the day that I was so in love with you. Remember the day that I came to Christ. Restore unto me that day, Lord God, in the midst of all the trials that are going on. And David said all of that when he was a bummed out, depressed guy, going through some hard times, where joy just was a memory. And sometimes that's where we're at. And that's where we just got to say, look, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Help me cry out just like David did and ask God to restore you. Restore what the devil has stolen. Restore the negative that some people throw at us. Some people are really good at throwing out some negative stuff. They drop it in your plate and go on. And they're like Johnny Appleseed. They just continue to just drop that negativity all over the place. And sure enough, it begins to grow and they begin to have troubles. Billy Sunday said this, "The trouble with many is that they have just enough religion to make them miserable." And you know what? That was said probably 50 or 60 years ago. And I believe it's true today. Because it is. That there's this battle. That people just have enough religion that they take God's word out of context. They have just enough religion that they become a part of a church from a distance. They have just enough religion that they can quote a scripture to make it work for what they are going through at the moment. But the bottom line is they know just enough to be miserable because they never turn it into a relationship. They never turn it into being plugged into the body of Christ. They never turn it into fellowshipping with people of like-minded faith. They just miss all of that. And they think they can do it on their own and they miss it. Second part of it is this. How do you get the joy back? You know, I said that you can make a choice whether you're going to have joy stolen in your circumstance. And the second part of that is, how do you get it back if you lost it? Proverbs 17:2 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." You know what? Some of you this morning need a good belly laugh. That's what you need. You need that in Jesus' name. You need that God would make you look past your circumstances and get in a good belly laugh. And then some of you this morning need to admit to God that your spirit is broken and that you've been sapped of all your strength, and that this morning you need Him to come back in and be the healer, to come back in and be the one that is going to touch and minister to your life. Here's some keys to joy. Very quickly, here's some keys to joy. Gratitude. While you say, "Wow, how does that fit joy?" Let me tell you. Thank Him for what He's doing and has done in your life instead of complaining of what He hasn't done yet. And you begin to see that will turn around your whole aspect of what you're going through. Praise Him through your circumstance. Give Him gratitude and lift His name up and stop complaining about what isn't happening in your life and take time to be thankful for what God is doing in your life. The second thing is compassion. I hope you're making a mental note of this morning. Compassion. Some of you are so wrapped up in your own lives that you miss opportunity God gives you to make an impact in somebody else's life. And that will bring joy. That will bring joy to your life. Stop looking at your own circumstance and see what God has for you in the lives of somebody else. Stop being so wrapped up in your own life that you miss an opportunity that God has to make an impact in your life. Number three is giving to others. Real joy comes when we give back. Joy comes from giving back to others, being a part. See, you can't be stingy with God's love, because the only way you get more is when God takes what you've given and refills it, gives it back. So you need that compassion. You need to be giving to others. You need to not be stingy with God's love. Be showing Christ in your life to somebody else. Because the more you do that, the more the Lord pours out with you. You will never run dry giving out the love of the Lord, because the Lord will always be giving back to you. Selfish, condemning people cannot experience God's real joy, because God's joy is based upon overflowing love that is poured out and refilled by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everybody could say amen to that. Everyone can say, "God, grant it to me. I need it." There's an evangelist, David Ring. Some of you have heard him. He's been preaching now for over 30 years. Here's a man that has cerebral palsy. And what I like, I seen him in Millersburg, I don't know how many years ago. in his service, he would talk to the people, and he would be this broken and crippled up man, and he would always end his service by saying, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" And this morning, I'm saying to you that some of the things that God is looking at you and asking you this morning is, "What's your problem? What's your problem? I have died for you. I have given you eternal life. I have wanted to resurrect my life and your life. I have sent the Holy Spirit to work and guide you and lead you. What's your problem this morning? Why don't you have the joy that's overflowing? Why aren't you making an impact in other people's life? Why don't more people have the joy of the Lord in their lives?" And the last one this morning is forgiveness. You can't forgive, and that person or that circumstance has stolen your joy. You've allowed someone else to come in and steal your joy. And you may be sitting here this morning, you say, "I can't do that on my own." That's right, you can't. That's a God thing. That's a God moment. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And if that's you this morning, whether any one of these things that are going on, if that's you this morning, I want you to take a moment right now and ask God to help you in that. "God, I need to forgive. God, I need to be more outgoing. God, I need to give back to others. God, I don't want the joy suckers to take and steal from my life anymore. I can't do it on my own." That's the perfect spot where God wants you this morning. Because that's the spot that says, "I can do this. I can help you." Crying out like David did. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." You know what that tells me? Saying, "God, I can't do this in my own. I can't fix this. But God, you create in me a clean heart. You take this heart and you create what you want. And renew a right spirit in me. Make me think like you think. Make me see the things that you want me to see. May my mouth say the things that you want me to say. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And grant me this willing spirit." Now I'm closing. Here's my thought for you this morning. If you've lost the joy of the Lord, it's simple. Get it back this morning. Did you hear me? Take authority over whatever's stealing your joy. Be determined that you're going to allow the Lord to do it. Make a conscious decision that you're going to follow Christ. Not this up and down, not this on this ladder that you spend most of your time down here in the miserable state. Determine that you're going to rise up on that ladder and live a joyous life. That you're going to live the life that God wants. And all those times that you're involved in circumstances that are beyond your control, you're going to say, "God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And allow me, God, to be all that you want me to be in this. And don't let me sit in my own wallowing pity. But God, allow me to give back to someone else." That's where I'll experience joy. That's where my circumstances are going to could turn around. Because the only way, listen to me, this is where I'm going to end it and grab onto it. This is the only way that you're going to have joy unspeakable is to give the Lord anything that doesn't cause you joy. I'd better say that again. You might not have heard me. I probably didn't yell loud enough. The only way that you're going to have joy unspeakable is to turn what does not give you joy over to the Lord. And allow Him to do that. Jesus says this, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that it may be complete." Tells me that it's only going to come from the Lord. You have to remain close to Jesus. Give you another tidbit. This one's for free. People that are joy suckers don't hang close to Jesus. So if you want to avoid the joy suckers, you remain close to Jesus. Because they don't want any part of it. And the times that they just start barking at you, that's all the more that you want to be close to Jesus. They don't like it, so stay close. Jesus says, and I'll close with this this quote, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." That's Jesus' promise for us this morning. And I realize there's things going on every day. If we stood up, every single family has something they could say going on. Every single one of us has some things that we would like to see changed. Here's the difference. The world sees their own problems and nothing else. And they think that they're the only ones going through it. And in fact, if you're a joyous Christian, they think, man, you must have it made. There's nothing going on in your life that would be any topsy-turvy. But I want you to know something. That's the time that we can shine like Christ. And that's the time that God knows, no matter what others think of what's going on in your life, God knows and cares what's going on in your life. And He wants to make it work out for you. So this morning, you have a choice. I say this, and I say it all the time. If God wants to make the changes, but if you don't want to make the change, you're not going to see it. You can say, this is the greatest message I've ever heard, but if you walk out of here and don't do anything with it, one, I've wasted my time, and two, God's not going to do anything until you decide and determine that you're going to let God do some of these things. And then you will have the joy restored. Then you're going to make an impact. And then you're going to see that God is doing some amazing things here because people are stepping up to the plate and realizing, hey, I got a lot going on in my life, but God has been there for me. He has done so much for me. I'm not going to let the Steelers take from me any longer. Then you're going to live the way God wants you.